Hello and welcome to Show Me the Podcast, an entertainment podcast hosted by two chalk and cheese best mates. I am your host Harry and I am joined by my co-host Lorraine.
Hello.
Hello. I can't remember what we do after this. Oh my god.
We usually ask each other how we've been.
Oh, do we cut straight to that? Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. What have you been up to?
I feel like every time we do this, what we've been up to is basically going to be the same, apart from the odd little change here and there.
Oh, I know. I've been through a world of it's okay not to be doing anything. It's not okay not to be doing anything. It's okay not to be doing anything. It's literally what I've been like the entire week.
I know. No, I've been just doing the normal walking. I love my walking. Working. I don't love my working. Podcasting. I love my podcasting. And I'm on day 18 out of my 100 for my Morning Meltdown 100. And I've also started running. And not to brag, but I thought I'd start Couch to 5K, which I'd started today. And I need to find another plan because it was too easy.
What do you mean it was too easy?
Well, the way the day was for you, like what you had to do today, it was too easy. So, so I think in the past 18 days, I've probably got a bit fitter. So like I'm by no means a runner. I'm not saying that, but I just need something a bit more advanced than that. Here she's going.
So you'll be shocked to know I've got a cold.
Are you sure? Are you sure that's what it is?
It's, well, do you know what? Hold on. So sorry. Do you want to just talk whilst I sneeze this end?
Are you going to get a test?
No. I think I just got a cold.
I had my flu jab actually the other day on Friday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, the uni was doing them. It was so funny because I went in to get it and the woman was like, face the wall. And I was like, what? She was like, face the wall. And I was like, why? And she goes, I'm not allowed to breathe in your direction. So you have to face the wall. And I was like, okay. And I hate getting a needle. I'm a big wimp when it comes to getting needles. And I was like, look, I'm really sorry, I says, but I'm really crap at this and stuff like that. And she just like jabbed it in my arm. And there she was, like I would talk to Riley. And there she was, you did so well. Well done. It's over now, isn't it? Well done, you. And I was like,
oh my God.
No, but I was like, thank you very much. I thought I was so brave. I was just disappointed I didn't get a sticker or a lolly.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's good. That's good about your fitness thing.
Yeah, I'm really getting into it. Like today, I was like, what is wrong with me? Because I went down today and I did a run and then I did my workout. And then I was like, oh, I want to do some more. So I did the power plate and I was like, I want to do some more. And I did more running. I was like,
I like it when it's like that.
I know. It doesn't happen a lot. So I went with it.
Mm. I'm the complete opposite.
I saw you did some yoga.
Yeah.
Sorry. Actually, yeah. I take back my laugh because you should see me do yoga. It's not a pretty sight.
No, yeah, no, I think with just everything, like my motivation, not so much today, but my motivation's just been so lax. Like, I just feel like my body just wants to hibernate. I'm literally like, I don't want to do anything other than sleep. Not so much today. Like today, I was just like, I'm going to get my bike out and pump it up and I'm going to start cycling or something just to get me out of the house. Mm. Like, because I have got the 5K, Catch to 5K app, but I haven't given it a go yet. And it's really dark around here and I'm a bit nervous.
Oh, I wouldn't go out in the dark.
No.
I do it on a treadmill.
Yeah. Oh, right. Mm. No. Well, no, I want to do the 5K thing around here because I want to explore more of the area as well. So, yeah, I might give that a go, but I haven't yet. I've downloaded the app.
It's a start.
Yeah. Oh, I've been playing loads of chess. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah, I saw that on your Instagram.
I know you called me a loser last time, but I'm loving it.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. In the last episode, you were like, loser, or something like that. Anyway,
oh, I take
nerd.
That back.
That's what you called me.
Nerd. Yeah, nerd is different to loser.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm playing. I'm enjoying that. So if anyone wants to play me at chess on this chess app, I'm called Tales of Peck on there. Come at me. How's your podcast going?
Yeah, it's going really well. I changed hosting sites yesterday. So I'm now on one called Captivate, which is an English one.
Okay.
So yeah, so I changed that yesterday. So it's just getting all that over. And yeah, it's going really well. I've got a few things lined up and I'm talking to a podcast network tomorrow about maybe joining them.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's going really well. I got a lot to do before Christmas and then I'm taking Christmas week off. And then I'll come back in the new year.
I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh, what have I done?
No. I was listening to your birds episode and it was very good. I will say that.
I say it's going to be a butt here.
No, well, kind of. And you're like, I notice they use a lot of green and the symbolism of green and blah, blah, blah. And green's my favourite colour. And as that happened, I audibly went, no, it's not. Blue is.
Green is my favourite colour.
It's not. I swear you told me blue is your favourite colour.
No, green is my favourite colour, but not any of the greens that were in it.
Well, that's what you said, but I swear.
No, green is always
like, no,
emerald green. Emerald green has always been my favourite.
That's my favourite colour.
I know, because I told you I was going to get my emerald green mini with the white stripes.
Oh, don't get white stripes.
Shut up.
Okay.
I was so glad to get that episode out of the way, by the way.
It was good. I really enjoyed listening to it.
Oh, cool. I said it to my brother the other day. I was chatting to him and I was like, do you listen to my podcast? He goes, no. And I was like, why not? He goes, because you're saying weird. I'm not listening to your voice.
It is an experience listening to you on there because you've got this, and I know you and I've known you a long time, but you've got like this real sort of professional way of talking. And when you make your point, you're like a completely different person. And it's kind of like, who's that lady?
Yeah, but I have to be, because if I spoke the way I normally speak, first of all, no one would understand a word I was saying because I'd be talking really fast. And I think when you're talking on your own, to talk kind of the way I do, I would sound like I was insane, like I was having a conversation with myself, if you know what I mean. It just wouldn't sound right. It just wouldn't sound right.
No, I know. Yeah. No,
so I speak like that so that people can understand me, because otherwise I'd be talking like this and no one would understand a word I say. Do you know what I mean? I remember once editing a podcast. I think it was one, I don't know whether it was mine or ours, and I thought that I had accidentally sped up the audio, and I hadn't. I was talking that fast that I had to redo it because I thought I'd sped up the audio.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I wish I could talk fast.
Yeah. No, I had to slow it down coming over here. In Ireland, I used to talk really fast, but since I've been here, I had to slow it down because no one could understand me. What else have you been up to?
I've been painting and sketching. That's been nice. I've been dealing with my cat. He's been a real pain the past few days.
Have you got a cat? You wouldn't know from your Instagram. The cat's replaced the deer's.
Happily. Happily so.
I've got new pajama bottoms and they're really comfy. I'm just rubbing the leg.
I don't know why you told me that.
They're men's ones as well. And they're just, you know, they're really comfy. I wouldn't buy women's pajamas. I always buy men ones.
Where did that come from? Does it do?
Because I'm rubbing my leg.
Because that looks so, like, so
and
out
you know
there.
What, Harry?
Please. What?
They're green and black, so there's green in them. And look at my green hoodie.
That's like a teal
green water bottle.
swear. Well, you know what? When
you just don't
I
listen
do
to me.
No, I do. When I'm doing the editing. You're green. No, I'm green and you're a blue track. So that's how I edit.
I know. And I was really annoyed when you did that. I was like, cheeky bitch, putting me blue and her green.
I only put you blue because you had a blue hoodie. And I swear you were like, I love blue.
I do like blue, but it's not my favourite. And that's what I did. I remember when you put us to our colours so that we knew who did what. And I was like, why is she green? I should be green.
Well, yeah, you kept up the whole... No, I swear... Okay, so... That's just so petty. Oh, my God, what has life become? We're so bored that we're arguing over that. But, like, yeah, we have a drive and we put our notes in there together and we colour code them. We have, like, black for whoever says what. And then, you know, when we're saying stuff, like, Lorraine puts her notes in blue.
That Harry allocated to me.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Well, you could change it. You could be, no, like, a different shade of green.
I wanted green.
Well,
it's okay. I've got over it.
Okay. Yeah, clearly. Right, let's not bore our listeners anymore with our... are petty differences or similarities. So what have you been watching?
Well, I've been re-watching Schitt's Creek. Love it so much. How are you getting on with it?
Yeah, I started season 5 today.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm busting through
I'm
it. I love it.
I'm just finishing season 5 now. I know.
For the second or third or fourth time.
Second,
okay.
There will be a third and fourth time.
Oh, I was literally in tears at the end of season 4, the Christmas episode.
Oh yeah.
I think mainly because, well, there's two reasons. I was like, oh, this is lovely. They've all come together for him, and it hasn't bothered me up until this point, and I don't want to bring the episode down, but I was just like, I'm not going to see anyone over Christmas. It was just like, oh. But no, it's a lovely show. It's really lovely. And I realised, looking at you now, and your lovely little smile and your hoodie and stuff, you are Stevie.
I know. I was wondering when you were going to say that.
The fact that
I've got her attitude
that.
As well, haven't I?
Yeah, you are like, so Stevie.
I know, when I was watching her, I was like, she reminds me of someone. And then I was thinking, I think it's me. And then I was like, Harry's gonna mention, I says, I wonder how long it'd take her to say it to me.
Yeah, no, I didn't think about it until we started recording about 20 minutes ago, and I was just like, oh my God, she looks like Stevie.
I'm not quite like Stevie. I think it's ours. We've got a lot of similarities that make me look like her. I don't think I necessarily look like.
You do the face.
Oh,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
mind that. I think she's pretty.
Yeah, she is. Yeah,
oh, I must be pretty.
You are pretty.
I know.
I love it when in the episode I've just watched, they're like, I think you're my best friend.
Oh.
And it's just like the sweetest thing.
I was watching one of them today, and he was in it. Dan Levy was in it, and I was like, and he was like watching, I won't tell you what it is, but he was watching Stevie do something, and you could tell he was like a really proud friend, and I was like, I want him to be my friend. And I was like, I need him. I love him so much.
I do. I've been watching YouTube videos with Alec of him for like the past half an hour before we started recording.
I know. Make sure when you finish that you watch the documentary on it afterwards on Netflix. Yeah.
I will.
That's definitely a good one. What about you? Anything else?
I've been watching The Crown season 4.
What's going on with that? Because I've been hearing some... Are they... Is it... They're doing a story... Part of it's on Diana's... When Princess Diana?
Yeah, so I think I'm like on the fourth episode, and they talk about how Charles and Diana got together, and they imply that it wasn't through love. They say basically the monarchy were like, marry her, she'll be loved by the public, she's a great candidate. And it's really, the way they portray it is like really
sad. Did you not know that?
No. I mean, the thing is, you can't take that as fact. I mean, it's very clear that he loved.
Yeah, no, I got it from an interview of her talking.
Oh, yeah, well, there's loads of stuff about that at the moment. Though,
is it the Martin Bashir thing?
Yeah. But anyway, it's just... I'm not taking any of this as fact because it's a fictional program and they're going to dramatize it.
Yeah.
But I think it's made, I said to you and my sister, like, it's just making me feel a bit icky watching it.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's because there's people who are watching this who are still alive, like, and
her boys,
her, yeah, exactly, her sons, Charles, Camilla, the Queen, Prince Philip, they're all, and Princess Anne, and I don't know, they just, there's just something that just doesn't sit well with me. But then, and I, and then they have taken things straight from the what actually happened, like when Charles says in an interview, the like a reporter says to him, and I didn't know this, he says to him, are you in love? And Charles goes, well, what is love anyway? Or something like that. And I was just like, and you can see Diana in the show, in the Crown, this is looking like really uncomfortable. And I was just like, that didn't happen. And I Googled it verbatim. He said that and she looked uncomfortable. And I was just like, that's so sad. And obviously all the other stuff is fiction. Like, you don't know that these conversations happened, but it's just, yeah, I don't like, I will continue to watch it out of probably like a really bad curiosity, but yeah. I think Gillian Anderson as Margaret Thatcher as well, like, she's good, but again, it's just, I don't know. I really don't know. There's just something very strange about it. So yeah, that's got me thinking this week about that. What about you?
I watched The Shining.
Oh yeah.
Recently. Because I'm doing it for my next episode. So it's really weird when, because like I've seen The Shining a lot of times, a lot. You know, it's like in my top three film. And it's crazy when you actually, like, because sometimes we do films and you kind of put them on, and you know what happens in them, and but you watch them again for a little refresh and stuff like that. But like sometimes, you know, when you really sit down and watch something, and you look for everything in it, and the shit, man, that you see in it, like that I didn't really, you know, see before, you know, there's so much there. It's like, I swear to God, these, one thing about doing on your own, it's like writing a fucking, every week I'm basically writing the equivalent of like 5,000-6,000 word essay.
But that's cool.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's, I mean, I'm enjoying it. But it's just, it's a lot, like, it's a lot of work, you know?
And a labour of love.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so I watched that again, and I just love it. It's such a fucking good film, like, you know? But yeah, so I watched that.
I do want to watch that Doctor Sleep.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that probably over the next few weeks, because it's on Now TV.
Yeah,
because you, because on Amazon you have to pay for it, whereas on Night TV obviously we have that. So,
yeah, yeah, cool.
What about you?
I've been I discovered that on all, I should know this anyway, but on all four, they've got Angel, all the series, and I never really got into Angel. I love Buffy, but I just kind of dwindled off Angel around season two. So I've been watching that, and I got to season three and I was like, skip to the end. So I'm like on season five and Spike's just joined, but yeah, just, I'm not loving it. There's just something, it's just not Buffy.
It was a spin-off, wasn't it, of Buffy?
Yeah, it's just a bit, I don't think there's one likable character in it anymore.
Okay.
So yeah,
cool. Anything else?
No, I'll leave it at that. Oh yeah, I watched Last Christmas. Sorry,
I seen someone reply to your tweet about it saying you should have waited to the twist at the end.
Oh, did they? I haven't seen that.
No, it was literally just before we came on.
Oh right.
Yeah.
No. Well, yeah, we got about 20 minutes in last night, and Alec normally goes, "No, we've got to watch to the end," and I'm like, "Oh, come on, it's in." But he turned to me and was just like, "This is crap." And for him to say that about a Christmas rom com. Mean, you know, must mean something. And I was just like, I want to play chess anyway, turn it off. So so we turned it off, and then we finished watching it today. We gave it another go, and it is bad.
Did you watch it to the end?
Yeah.
Did you see the twist?
It was so obvious, like they highlighted it so heavily before it happened. So when it happened, Alec went, because I walked out of the room to do something, and he was just like, oh Harry, this happened. And I went, yeah, and I was like, did this happen, blah blah blah, and he goes, yeah. And I'm like, well, yeah, so I wasn't very impressed with that. So that is definitely not my recommendation.
Cool.
Sorry.
Oh, who was it on? Oh, yeah, I watched a true crime documentary on Samuel Little as well. But anyway, it wasn't very nice. We're leaving it at that.
Shocker. Righto, shall we get into the main thing? The main topic?
Can I just go and get a top up?
Yeah. Oh, am I doing the...
Yeah, you wrote it. your fucking big intro.
In Bruges, written and directed by Martin McDonagh in 2008. This film follows two hitmen comprised of Colin Farrell as Ray and Brendan Gleeson as Ken as they hide out in the Belgium city of Bruges as they await to hear from their crime boss Harry. And chaos ensues. Original. Actually, I would like to point out that I think this is a good film to have chosen for this time of year because it is set at Christmas.
Well done. So, did you know that when you were doing it? Did you think of that when you were doing it? When you picked it, sorry.
No, I was just like, what did make me think of it the other day? I was just like, we need something funny for a change, but like not ha-ha funny because we're just not ha-ha funny people. And I was like, oh my God, in Bruges. And it's got Irish people in, like the rain.
Well, Dev, okay, I'm going to be honest. But don't let me finish before you go, what the fuck? So me and Dev watched this more or less when it came out. And I wasn't a fan. And he's been trying... Hang on, let me finish. I can see your face. He was been trying to get me to watch it for years. And I'm keeping like, no, 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 no. And then we watched it like the other day for this. I says, oh, do you fancy watching In Bruges? And I absolutely loved it this time around.
Yay! Good!
Yeah. But I wasn't ready for it emotionally.
Oh, yeah. It's a sucker punch of a movie,
I think.
Oh, my
God. I was crying at it. It was really like, yeah.
I'm trying to think. I didn't cry this time.
This time? How many times have you seen it?
I've seen it a lot. I've got it on DVD.
Yeah, I had to pay for it.
Well, I'll let you into a secret. I do have it on DVD, and I have watched that DVD lots, but I couldn't find it, so I had to pay for it, and I was really pissed off.
Oh, no. That was annoying.
Yeah, it was. But, so Dev was happy that you're now a fan. Good. Mm. I'm glad.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Podcast over.
We both liked it. So what was it about it that you actually did like? Why do you like this film as much as you do, seeing as you've watched it millions of times?
I think I remember the first time I watched it, and I think what struck Alec and I, because we watched it together, is it feels really original.
Definitely.
And it doesn't quite fit into one genre, which I quite like as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was really unusual. I remember, I mean, let's just preface this with, we always say spoilers. But I remember like when it gets to the end and all these things throughout the storyline, throughout the screenplay have come to this moment where the dwarf is dressed as a schoolboy and Ray, and I was just thinking, just at the time, I remember thinking, that's so fucking clever. Mm. Like, the screenplay is just so unbelievably good. And it just it blew me away when I first saw it, and I just think it's really original, and I really like respect it for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I like it.
Cool. No, I think for me, what I liked about it was how, at the start of it, you don't really care so much for these characters. There's nothing really, you know, warm about them at the start. They just kind of come across, Ray comes across as this annoying, like, teenager almost. And Ken is just like a bit up his own arse. you know. Mm-hmm. But what I love is by the end of it, I love these two people because of how their relationship kind of grows throughout it. And it's kind of like, I don't know, I suppose when you think of hitmen, you don't think of them as doing what they like, especially what Ken did for him, and having those growing such feelings for another one, if you know what I mean. You know?
Yeah, I think they've got a lovely friendship from the start, but I didn't find, I know you're supposed to, but I didn't find either of them annoying. And I know Ray's meant to be like this petulant child, but I thought this was really well done by Colin Farrell. He is so good as Ray. His comedic like delivery, and not just his comedic delivery, his balancing act of emotions in this film. Like, at the end of the day, he's a suicidal guy. And he really brings that out, like the scene where he's been out on the lash that night before with the prostitutes and blah, blah, blah. And then the next day, he's just got a tear in his eyes. Oh my God, so sad. And like when he's talking about how he killed the lad, and he's like, you know, I shouldn't be here, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then also, like, the way he brings the comedy out of it, and just like his delivery on those lines, like, I know it's a really bad scene because he punches a woman. But when she comes at him and he goes, bottle, it's just the way he does it. It's just, he's so, so well acted. And I didn't find him irritating because I found him humorous. Like, I found him really funny to watch, and I could keep watching him. And I think that was perfectly balanced by Gleason's performance as well, as the, you know, the steady, down-to-earth, grounded one. And I didn't think he was up his own arse. I just thought you could see him like, I don't get many nice moments in my life. Will you just give me Bruges?
I think at the beginning, I just wasn't, like, yeah, Ken wanted to go and see the sights. Ray was acting like, you know, the way, sometimes you'd see parents bring in their teenage kid on holiday that was a bit too old for the trip, but too young to leave at home.
He
was basically that character. And I just didn't warm to Ray at the start. I mean, I could understand why Ray was annoyed and irritated by Ray's behavior, because, you know, you're in this beautiful city. And as the way Ray kept going on about how shit it was, and I'm just like, what's he looking at? Like, I thought it was gorgeous. Like, do you know what I mean? But I suppose, like, that of a teenager, some of them go on holiday, they don't give a shit about a building or a bridge or, you know, scenery and all that kind of stuff.
Have you been to Bruges?
No.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Is it?
I went after I saw this movie.
Oh, did you? I hope not. Dev doesn't listen, so it doesn't matter, but I want to bring him there, like, for a birthday or something at some point.
It's lovely. It's really nice. And it's funny because I think for me and Alec watching this movie, when we go anywhere like that, he's not quite to the same level, but he's Ray and I'm Ken. I'm like, oh, let's go to this museum and check this out. Or, you know, let's go on a historical boat ride. I'd love that. And he's just like, yeah. But yeah, it's a really nice place, really good place to go.
Yeah, no, I definitely wouldn't mind seeing it. What did you think of the whole way Ray spoke? I mean, how unbelievably un-PC he was.
I not so much this time, like, but I remember the first time watching it, and you can't believe what's coming out of his mouth. They got greenlit for that screenplay with that.
Don't think they would now.
No, I don't think they would now.
No,
I have to say it is too politically incorrect.
But I think the reason he gets away with it, because I don't think Ken would have got away with it.
No.
But he gets away with it because, not that this is an acceptable reason, it's still not acceptable that he's doing this, but do you ever meet people that say certain things and you know they're not saying it to be malicious? They're just, they don't see what they're saying as being wrong. They're kind of saying it how they see it, and they don't. But I think with him, I feel like with a bit of work, he could be educated, because he's not trying to hurt people. And I think if he kind of realized that that would be hurtful to some people, I think that he would take a step back. But I think with him, he just there's an innocence to say he's a hitman. There's such an innocence to him.
Well, that's yeah. Well, that's what Ken's getting at, isn't
yeah.
it? Like, you can see he's a bit of an idiot. Well, not an idiot, yeah. just
wet beyond the ears, basically.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why he's like, he deserves a chance. He can be a better man.
Yeah.
Because, like, we see that as the audience, like you say. Like, he's saying all these really bad things. I mean, like, his use of the word gay and poof and things like that, he's just like, no, dude, you can't say that. Like, but you can see he only means it as in, like, and like, people do have, in the past, used those words to be derogatory to somebody, but yeah, you can see he's just naive to that. He doesn't realize like it's a really offensive thing to say, so you can kind of forgive him in a way.
Yeah, I did find myself sometimes going, oh my god, like the language out of him was absolutely atrocious. But I felt like I was dealing with like a 7-year-old who had heard it in the playground and didn't realize it wasn't allowed
yeah,
to be said.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, to be honest, it's not just him though, is it? It's like everybody's language, isn't this film? It's pretty bad. Like the dwarf, God, I can't remember his name. That's really bad. When he's high on coke and stuff, and he's going on about the race, the battle that he sees coming, and he's going on about the races, and he's racist.
Yeah.
And you're just like, dude, no. And then the language that comes out of Harry and Ken's mouth at the end when he goes, I can't even say it. I can say it because I said it in the past couple of podcasts, when he's just like, you're fucking cunt kids. And he's like, don't call my kids fucking cunts. How dare you call my kids? It's just like, what is happening?
No, I know. His name, Jimmy. That's his name, isn't it? Jimmy.
Yeah.
I only remember Ray and Harry's name, so I've got the names here in case we get stuck. Yeah, there was, I did find, like, apart from, well, I suppose, Harry, so what's his name? Not Harry, Ken and Ray, they are, you know, you're kind of grown with them, but all the other characters, not Harry, I'll talk about him in a bit, but the other ones, like the girlfriend, I can't remember her name either, and her fella, there was no likable characters there. Like her boyfriend, I fucking hated him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I liked the landlady. I thought she was okay. But like,
did you not like Alcove, that guy?
There's not many characters to actually root for here. You know, apart from Ray and Ken, the others, you really don't. I didn't feel anything for any of them apart from like pricks.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's I think with it's I'm gonna get really deep. I think with this film, something that's really highlighted and I think which you've just reminded me of is how the beauty of like the classic romantic medieval beauty of the city is juxtaposed with their crass sort of comic gangster nature. And you are basically there isn't any human in this who's nice. It's more like the loveliness comes from the surroundings, isn't it? It's like, but then you say that, but then I don't think there's one bit where I dislike Ken throughout the whole thing. I think he's kind of like the moral center of the whole film.
No, he is, but I didn't get that at the beginning. But it wasn't I mean, it didn't last for long. But I didn't feel anything for him until, it's kind of at the beginning, I wasn't really like bothered by either of them, but I don't know, was that because I knew I didn't like the film that much and I just couldn't be arsed, or, cause then I remember when I was watching it, I was like, okay, I watched Harry Wants to Do This, so obviously I'll watch it and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
Didn't.
No. But then I remember I was watching it, I was like, oh. I was starting to like feel for the characters, you know, this type of thing. And so I don't know whether that was because of how I felt about the film or, you know, the actual characters. But by the end of it, I loved both of them dearly. But I thought the whole thing about the boy, you mentioned it briefly there, the young boy that got killed was a heartbreaking storyline. Yeah, because obviously, because the priest was his first kill, wasn't it? Wasn't that his first one? And obviously, it's weird when you, sometimes I find it strange, like in gangster films and stuff like that, even Harry, they have ethic, you know, they have a set of codes that they live by. And obviously you don't kill kids or women and stuff like that. And the torture of watching Ray go through, I mean, you're not supposed to feel sorry for someone who murders a child, whether it's accidental or not. But with him, you do. You don't want him to be sent to prison or, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Like, to be honest with you, he's in prison anyway. You know, it doesn't matter whether you send him to an actual prison or not. He's in prison anyway. But I found that whole thing heartbreaking. And I found it more heartbreaking, not because the child has died, but how it was killing him.
Yeah.
Even though, obviously, nobody wants a child, you know, to be killed like that. But, like, it was him. My heart broke for him over that kid, because it wasn't him saying, I've killed that kid, shit, I'm upset, fuck, how am I going to get out of this? It was like he wanted to be punished for it.
He was in his own kind of purgatory. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I just, that whole thing about the boy, I just fucking, oh man, that killed me. But for a lot of, you know, reasons type thing.
Yeah. No, it's heartbreaking. It's really sad. And I have to say, I'd never noticed it before, but watching it this time, when he goes to that film set towards the beginning, and the girl, Clemence Posey, who plays, the love interest, she says, oh, they're doing a Dutch
Chloe.
Version. Chloe, so they say that she's doing a Dutch version of Don't Look Now. And that film is about a man and a wife. A husband and a wife who are tortured by, you know, the death of their daughter and the guilt that, and, you know, and then they're haunted by a small figure. And I was just like, no fucking way. I didn't even notice that the first time. And then it has a lot of resonance in this story. But yeah, no, you do feel conflicted because he has obviously done this terrible act. But like you say, he didn't. Not that it's an excuse, but he didn't mean to. And he is, like, living his own hell, they say. Yeah.
I think... Do you think that's why... Like, do you remember the scene where he sat down with... basically, the lead up to it is Ken has been ordered to kill Ray because, you know, he fucked up. And then when he gets there and they're like having that chat, like before we go into that, I do have to point out the whole Ray was going to kill himself. And what I thought was really interesting of the location that he picked.
The playground.
Yeah. In a playground. And there was actually children in the playground. And I thought, you know, you will traumatize this child if you shoot yourself now. And then I thought it was interesting that then Ken came up behind him to shoot him, but then didn't, and they had like this argument over, you know, him trying to kill him, but he should commit suicide because it's, you know, this type of thing. It was quite funny, that whole scene. But then I was thinking that because him trying to kill himself is what actually saved his life. Because, you know, because had he not tried to kill himself, Ken would have probably shot him. You know?
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
And so it's kind of ironic, really, isn't it? Like, you trying to kill yourself is what saves you. Then when Ken really starts to feel is when he sees how distraught he is over the death of this boy.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's when you really start to see like the real caring side of Ken. Because like he doesn't want to kill him, but you know, business is business. And then it's weird. It just, he sees him like, you're going to kill yourself. And it's like almost like his heartstrings are pulled. And he's like, I can't do this. Not if he's going to kill himself. And I think it's funny, like, even when he tells Harry, like, you know, well, he was going to kill himself. And he goes, he could have fucking done it himself. And you just stop. You know what I mean? It's just such a strange situation. You know? What did you actually think of Harry?
I thought it was weird seeing...
Ralph Fiennes talking like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't know it was him. I didn't know he was in it. I couldn't remember. And I was like, who is that voice? And then I was like, well, it's obviously you wouldn't think Ralph Fiennes from The Voice. And then when I saw him, I thought, fucking hell, man, he's a psycho. He's absolutely psychotic.
I think, I don't know, but I get the impression he enjoyed playing that role.
Mm.
But he, yeah, in many roles I've seen him in, he's, you know, well-spoken, quite dramatic. It's quite, you know, like a mature situation. But in this, he's just like a cockney with like psychopathic tendencies. And yeah, it seemed really unusual, but I think he played it well.
Mm. Yeah. Have you ever seen him in a film called Coriolanus?
No, I know he directed that. It's like a...
Yeah, he's in it, yeah. Now that, if you want to fucking watch an intense performance.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm surprised you watched that. Is that your, not your cup of tea normally?
No, Dev wanted to put it on. I mean, I wouldn't watch it again, but fucking hell, man. Some really? Acting. Oh God, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh my God. I fucking love it when gangster films do this. But do you remember the conversation when Harry rang Ken and he was explaining to him, first of all, that Ray didn't like it, like Bruges. And then when he went, how can a fairy tale town not be somebody's fucking thing? And then he had to explain, what was it he said to them? He said to me, he goes, you know what he said to me the other day? I know I'm awake, but it feels like I'm in a dream. And it was like that really kind of like calmed him down.
yeah. However, funny you mention that. That's a really pivotal like scene, and it's all to do with Brendan Gleeson, really.
Mm.
But like he says that to kind of like
calm him down, yeah.
Calm him down. But then like I can't remember how exactly it goes, but like he then says, "Oh, you've got to kill him." And he eventually says it again, doesn't he, like, and now I'm awake, but it feels like I'm in a dream. And it suddenly changed meaning.
Mm.
Or like, just like he said, oh, you know, like a lull moment before. But then now he's just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like just switches, and it's so well acted. He's amazing, Brendan Gleeson. I love him.
He is, isn't he? He's a really good actor. But yeah, no, I think probably that's when it kind of obviously starts to take the big turn, and how he sacrifices himself like and everything. Oh, I know, yeah. I know.
Oh, that blood splatter when he lands.
The arm.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's really sad.
And the fact that he wasn't fucking dead.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm gonna die now.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Oh, fucking hell.
Really sad.
Because I think, hang on, what was it? Because didn't they kind of get away with it? He wasn't going to do it. And then the fucking boyfriend of Chloe.
Yeah, he runs up the stairs, doesn't he? And says he's here. Yeah.
He's such a little bitch. What people fucking do over jealousy, because that's all that was, jealousy. Get over your fucking self and grow up. We all get jealous, but you don't go around fucking ruining people's lives over it. Oh, I hate...
Well, no, let's put it into... No, come okay, on, dude. Let's put it into context. He found Ray messing with his girlfriend.
Yeah, but he didn't know.
No, I know. But then he shot him in the eye and blinded him.
Yeah,
you're going to be pissed off.
With a gun that was his. That he tried to scare him with.
I agree, and he's a dickhead, but I... Do you think you have to put yourself in his shoes before you can judge him?
Nah. Nah. You're not going to tell me a different... He fucked up with his whole fake gun shit and it bit him in the ass. If you're going to pull a gun on someone... I'm not going to say the next line because I don't condone pulling guns on someone. But like, if he's going to pull a fucking gun on someone, don't then be a bitch about it when that person takes that gun off you and turns it on you.
You should.
I'm not being funny. If someone pulls a fucking gun on me and I can get it off them, they're getting shot in the dick. Or the vagina, depending on who they are. I don't want to kill them. But they're beyond the floor, so they can't get me. Because in the arm, they could still come for you. Get them there.
Right.
That's not my recommendation. But yeah. Okay. But you know that that's going to take him down. If someone's trying to shoot you with a fucking gun, their intentions aren't good.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah,
no. And he is a knobhead, but I just think, I don't think we should be, like, dismissing his actions of telling Harry, because he did get blinded.
No, but he didn't do it because of that. He did it because he was fucking jealous of his girlfriend, who didn't tell Ray that she was shagging about.
No,
and they were doing it to rob him.
No, because when he's in the Elgov guy's house, he's just like, you blinded me. He cares because he's lost his eye. I'm not defending him. I'm just saying, no. I think his actions aren't, like, shocking, because he would probably...
Because while I think Ray, you know, give him a slap or something, he knew that that guy was going to kill him. I don't think Ray deserved to die over it, and that's why.
That's why
he knew that that guy was going to kill him.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
So the punishment wasn't enough. If you didn't come in there and pull that gun and just went, okay, we've set up this whole thing where we rob people, but you ended up going with this guy. She was in the wrong there, not Ray.
No, yeah.
You know?
She's a douchebag. She's a fucking
twat. And, you know, so he should have fucking went, okay, I'm not happy about this situation. I'll fucking turn on my heels. But he didn't. Poured out a gun with fucking fake bullets in it. Twat. Not an ounce of sympathy did I have for that fella.
I didn't have sympathy for him. I just think it's understandable why he did what he did.
I don't think it is.
Not understandable, but in terms of, like, storyline, he was a good driver, but the actions that happened.
But he still shouldn't have done it. I hated him. You know the way some characters, you're like, I absolutely despise you. I want you to be crushed by a giant. And that was him.
Wow.
Yeah. But I hate it when people don't think things through. But to the point where you could literally get someone killed. I can understand people being angry and wanting revenge. And maybe, you know, if he had punched him in the face, whatever. But when you're like, I'm that fucking jealous and I'm that pissed off that I fucked up with my gun, I'm going to get you killed. I've no time for that type of behaviour.
Do you not?
No. No. It's not what I'm about.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I meant to mention it earlier, but we kind of flitted him in and out of stuff. But I think what is great about... both Farrell's and Gleason's performances, and I don't know how to say this in a politically correct way, but considering but considering what the film is, I'm gonna go there. But
that's Harry talking, by the way.
I think they can tell. I think what these actors, what comes across in this film, watching this film, is that I think you can see both actors, especially Farrell, getting to enjoy being very Irish in this movie.
Yes. How's that not politically correct?
Well, I don't know. Because what I mean by Irish is just like this Father Ted style banter, lots of swearing.
That's what makes it good.
Yeah, no, it is. It is what makes it good. But I think that comes across here, especially with Farrell, that he's just like, I just get to kind of play myself. I don't know what he is like in real life, but you just get that sense that
you kind of nailed it on the head there, because like one thing I loved about this film is like I'm not saying this is everyone's experience of being in Ireland, but you know, I lived there for 18 years, and there is this way that people talk to each other that you can't get away with over here, but over there it's not like, you know, it wouldn't be like when I worked over there. If I did something, if you do something wrong over here, can I speak to you? Stuff like that. When I did something wrong over here, you'd get, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Whereas you wouldn't get that.
No airs and graces.
Yeah. Now, they didn't do that with everyone, but they did that with me and a few others, because we could take it because we weren't, you know, sensitive. And I love, that's one thing I love, is blunt people. They're so fucking blunt. They don't hold back. They say what they want. And I love that. I wish more people were like that, because it saves so much time.
Why are you friends with me?
Because you are, Harry, you are a lot fucking... Do you know the thing is with you? Is you don't think you're blunt, but you fucking are. And your... do you know what your problem is? Is your face.
Your problem is your face.
No, your face. You don't need to utter one single word. I know exactly what you're thinking by your face. Because if you're... like, you say it through look. You don't need words.
So I'm blunt with my features.
You're very blunt with your features. But I like that because I don't. And so when people are blunt with me, I fucking love it. I love blunt people.
Okay. Right. Oh, what else do we think?
I've seen on your notes that you'd never heard of Bruges before until you saw this film.
No, but I saw it, like, bear in mind it came out 2008. So I was, like, 20.
Oh,
how old was I?
20
odd. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 21.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. Then. But yeah, no, as soon as I saw it, I was. That's what I mean, like, Ken geeking out. When I was looking at that place, I was like, oh my God, I want to go there so bad. It's like a medieval city.
I know. But you do get some people that when they go on holiday, like, you know the way you have some people that are beach people, they just want to sit on a beach and stuff like that, whereas that to me is like hell. Whereas I want to walk around everywhere.
I love a bit of both. Not gonna lie.
No, I don't.
I love a bit of both. But it was really funny in this film, actually, because Alec and I were watching it together earlier. And when Ray is trying to manipulate him into going out, he's just like, oh, we could go to, I don't know, like an art gallery or something. And I turned around to Alec and I was like, that's so you when we go to these places. You're like, we go to this place and you could read all the boards or something. And I'm like, ooh, okay. yeah, it's a gorgeous city, absolutely gorgeous city.
It looks but very magical.
I remember we went and it was such a random day. We got there, we only spent the day there, but it was raining. It was like, it was really strange. It was like sunny and rainy. And then there was like a patrol of like all these different scout groups in one area, which was really random. And then there were these two chefs leaning out of a window, leaning on a sculpture of a person. And I was like, this is really surreal. And then there was like a Women's Day, International Women's Day there or something. They were all marching. And then you walk past all these windows and it's just chocolate boobs and chocolate penises, and I was just like, what is this place?
What, in Bruges?
In Bruges, yeah. All in one day. It was bizarre. It's absolutely
chocolate
bizarre.
Chocolate boobs and chocolate penises.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Europe, isn't it?
Them and their chocolate boobs.
Chocolate, but there's that penises. Whole thing with...
I wish penises taste like chocolate.
Haven't they?
Every day I'd be like, come on, up you get.
Oh my God, if only. There you go, scientists, crack on with it. But yeah, no, that's what I thought was interesting about this, because there is a bit of a cheeky charm about Bruges, and I think that even though it's kind of like the Irish thing that comes through in this, that cheeky charm of Bruges comes through in this as well. You've got, like, you know, the statue of the boy pissing into the fountain or whatever. Oh, yeah. I can't remember why it's famous, but I was reading that McDonagh went to Bruges and he was like, this is beautiful, but I'm bored. And that's how he came up with the idea of these two characters.
Oh, like, so he was bored?
He was bored in Bruges. I don't know how it was, but yeah. But that's how the story came about.
Yeah. What did you think of the whole ending thing? I must admit, I thought the whole chasing through the streets with the gun and all that kind of stuff, it was very open.
Yeah, it was a bit over the top.
It was very OTT. Over the top. Yeah.
But then I did like how they get to the film set and it's that scene, that representation of purgatory that they'd looked at in the museum, and he'd got all deep about. I love his expression when he's looking at the body being skinned and he's just like, it's just sick. So
that picture was fucking awful. Oh my God, I saw that and I was like, fucking hell.
But his expression's just so good. But yeah, like, I like at the end, I like how he's just suddenly there. And I think it's, like I said earlier, I just think it's so clever how his scenario of shooting through the person and killing that child is replicated with Harry doing it with him. I thought it was really, Really good. But when you realise the dwarf's dead, you're just like, no!
But it was how much of his... Yeah, it was how much of him he took off.
Well, he had the dum-dum guns, didn't he? The bullets.
Fucking hell. I was like, really... Yeah, that was quite a... And I thought it was... Because Harry could have just walked away. And there's kind of a bit of respect there that the fact he actually went through with shooting himself. That he stuck to his morals. And that's what I always find weird about gangsters, that they have these morals where... I mean, he would literally... He literally killed himself because he said if he had done that.
Well, I think that's another... Because I think the main theme of the film is guilt. Is an exploration of guilt. But also, I think what McDonagh's trying to get at is the fact that no matter if you have morals or you have a conscience, at the end of the day, violence is senseless.
Mm.
And, like, they both... Well, they all do like violent things in it, and it gets them fucking nowhere.
No, I know.
And I think
two of them are dead, and one of them's holding on for dear life.
Yeah, and the one guy's got his eye shot out because he was being violent as well. Yeah, I think that's his message, and that's what I get from it. And I think you're kind of like you don't know if he's living or dying, but I presume. He's gonna live, and
well, he's trying to live, isn't he? He's trying desperately to live. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I like the ending. I think.
Yeah. No, I did as well. I actually rewatched it tonight because I was like, "Oh my god, did he die?" And I was like, "I don't think he did." So I was like, "Give it a little rewatch tonight." But yeah. No, I'm like, violence. I'm not a fan of, obviously, you know, why would I be a fan of violence? But like, yeah, I'm very against it. You know, very against it. You know, you see a lot of it now on social media and stuff, and all videos constantly popping up of stuff happening, and I just can't watch them.
Of what happening?
Well, like, there was this one that popped up today of like this guy apparently called the cops on something, so instead of dealing with it, they then punched him in the face and done him for disturbing the peace. You know, stuff like that. It's just, I think there's a lot of you know, obviously we've seen a lot in the news and everything lately, but like, I think people are so quick to violence, you know, like one thing I know about me is I have, and because I'm 46 now, I know that I've got it under control, but I could easily be violent, but I've got that ability that I know when to stop myself. I get very close to it because I'm very, like, I am a very like angry person. I know I am, but I can control it. Which is fine. But, you know, I wonder what it is about that person that, because the thing is, I know that like to punch someone in the face sometimes would feel so good, but it would feel good for about a second. You wouldn't feel good after it. You'd feel bad after it, you know? Oh God, here we go. Did you punch someone in the face?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I've punched someone in the face, but like, you know.
But it was just so random. I'm not proud of it, but I just think back on it like, what the fuck? Because me and my friend, we're not friends anymore, and it wasn't because I punched her in the face.
Do you think maybe it is? I think it is.
Probably was.
It probably is.
No, we were like kids, and we were just like drawing, and she just looked at me, and I was just like, smack! I don't know why. To this day, I don't know why I punched. Yeah, I just punched her in the face, and she was just like, what the fuck? And I was just like, I don't know, but you just. You just ignited.
How old were you?
We must have been about 10, 11.
Well, she was just sat drawing and you punched her in the face.
Yeah. I'm not proud. Like, I don't. That's what I mean.
So she didn't say anything to you?
She probably did something to piss me off. She always used to, like, copy me and
you know that that doesn't warrant a punch in the face, Harry.
Oh, she deserves one now. Trust me. But no, I don't condone violence. But what I mean, yeah, but like, I agree. Like, I just think, you know, it's really interesting because I watched an episode of Angel the other day, and there's this guy in it who takes men back to their prime, well, they called it their primal selves, and they were getting aggressive with people, and they called this their primal selves in this show. And I was just like, does that mean you're just aggressive if you're your primal self? I was just like, is it innate in everybody? And I was just like, whoa. And it got me thinking. I don't think they were right to call it that in the show, to be fair. But Yeah, I think there is this. Yeah, we're funny human beings. Like, why do we jump to the physical violence? Why does it?
It's just like I can understand if someone hits you and you hit them back. I can understand if someone's attacking a friend and you hit them back, or someone's trying to take your child and you hit them back. That's normal.
Yeah.
But it's the things defense. Where, you know, you're at the bar and some guy starts talking to you and your partner tries to beat them up. You know, those type of things. Or when, like with the police, the way that they can't seem to control, not all of them, obviously, can't seem to control their emotions. And it's like, why not take a step back? You know, take a fucking step back and just because, you know, nothing's as bad usually the next day or in 5 minutes, you know, and people fuck up their lives for what?
Oh, yeah.
A moment of feeling good about yourself because you've punched someone. No, I'm just I'm glad that I like because I know I'm very close to it, but I've always managed to, you know, to hold back on it.
Oh yeah, I mean, bar that.
Apart from when someone looks at me while I'm drawing, then I kick the shit out of them.
I didn't kick the shit out of her. I just smacked her out in, punched her in the face, and we were friends for a very long time after. I have autistic tendencies. No, I agree. No, I'm not proud of it, but I just think back on it like, what the hell was that about? But no, I think maybe it is primal. I think it's so interesting when you're around that, because I have been in situations where people I'm around have started to get like het up. There's a tension in the air. You can always feel it, and you can see why it builds and why some people don't back down and other people rear up. It's a very strange human emotion.
Yeah, I think I like the kind of people that don't back down type thing. I think fighting's pathetic. I don't think when you're defending yourself, obviously, I don't think that's violence when you're defending yourself. If someone's fucking going for you, then you do what you can to get away from them. But this kind of like, you know, having to fight to kind of prove your point or whatever. I think it's so pathetic. I hate violence. Like, I worked in the club scene for years and stuff like that, and obviously I've seen a lot of fights, and I've been in a couple myself, but I've never started them. And the only one I started is when I was a kid. This girl kept on, you know, her and her friends would beat me up all the time, and I mean, it was ridiculous. And she was on her own one day, and I just said, I had enough. And I walked up to her and I said, right, come on then. You're on your own. Let's go for it. And I kicked the shit out of her. And she never... And I was only about 11. And she never came...
And you were...
No. This was after years of abuse from her.
No, I agree. Like, yeah, but you were this 11.
Yeah, but this is after years of her beating me up with her friends. I just had enough one day. I remember because she had a bag and it had pastel colours on it, pastel stripes on it, different pastel colours on it. Her first name was Sarah. And
was Sarah too.
Was yours a Sarah?
It's a Sarah thing.
I'm gonna punch Sarah. But I hate violence. I fucking hate it. That's why I find myself less and less looking at stuff. Because people are like, did you not see the news? I'm like, no. They're like, you need to keep up. I'm like, no. Because I just don't want to see it. Anytime I see any videos that I know that service, keep scrolling. I hate violence. Because like, do you know what it is? I can't, it's like, you know, like gangster films. Like, you know, with the real beatings and stuff. I can't watch them.
No, I do like violence.
We know Harry from a young age.
I do enjoy a fight scene, and I really like choreographed fight scenes.
Yeah, me too. Martial arts fight scenes I like.
Yeah. And
not fists.
I'm not against watching something like that, but when it gets to a certain point where it's just like too realistic or too gone, like you've gone past a point, or it's just downright like downright malicious and evil. I can't watch it too much. Like, I started to watch that Gangs of London, and I do want to keep going, but I've heard the violence in it is just
horrendous. See, I wouldn't watch that.
And I watched like the first minute of it, and he does something, and I'm like, oh, that's oh yeah, maybe not.
That's why I won't watch A Clockwork Orange. I've tried to watch that film, I just can't finish it.
Well, that's just, yeah, I've only seen bits of it, but that's just like an exploration of evil, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think that's bringing it right back to being Bruce. I think this is what this film is saying, in a way, is it's just like, it's senseless.
It is. It's pathetic. Mm. You know, people just all need to calm the fuck down.
You all need to smoke some weed. Every episode.
No, but do you know why? Because they fucking do. You know, can you imagine
Lorenza. From
this, yeah, but could you imagine from this moment on, if every single person that was prone to violence quick said to themselves, before I react to this, I'm going to give myself 24 hours and I'm going to go off and I'm going to see, is it worth it? You wouldn't have half the shit going on.
No.
You know, you wouldn't. Even fucking 10 minutes probably would do it for some people, you know. But yeah,
it's like when you're really angry and you're gonna send that angry text and you write it out and you're like, I'm gonna send it, but you're lucky if your brain goes, don't send it, just come away and come back to it. And when you do come back to it, you're like, oh, yeah, I can't be bothered to send that anymore, and you feel so much better for it.
Yeah. Well, text is the worst thing, isn't it? Because people read texts. You could send a text that wasn't angry and people are like, did you see what she sent me?
I've sent the odd angry message in my past and I haven't been proud of it.
I have as well. Only Dev gets angry messages, so I don't think anyone else has.
No.
Sometimes he's sat downstairs getting them.
Okay. In Bruges done.
In Bruges done.
So what are you gonna watch, read, do, what of next?
Well, I'm going to watch, like, because I've only seen it about 5 million times. I'm going to watch The Holiday because I'm going on someone's podcast to do it. I don't need to rewatch it because I know it like the back of my hand, but I'm going to. And I'm going to watch Gremlins because I'm doing that on mine for Christmas. Dev's mom texted us today about something on Netflix called Virgin River. I have no idea.
I've watched that.
Is it good? Oh,
it's just nice.
Oh,
that's a problem, but it's like background TV, I thought.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna the season 2 started. It's nice.
So. Oh, is that because I was like, how has everyone watched it so quickly? So the one that's showing up now on Netflix, that's season 2.
Yeah.
Oh right. Okay. Yeah. So I might. Oh, you've got season 2 there. Yeah. So I might. I'm gonna give that a go because I need. I'm gonna have to finish Schitt's Creek. I need to get to the end of it because I just do. And then I'm going to stop rewatching stuff for a bit because that's my problem.
Why didn't you watch Buffy?
I know. I'd already went to the other day, actually.
And? What stopped you? Schitt's Creek.
I think I ended up watching a documentary about a serial killer instead. Oh, no, I started
watching... You know the vampires in Buffy are serial killers.
Yeah, but I'm not being funny. The fucking vampires in Buffy are like, I mean, I feel like someone went, can someone run to Poundland and get some fucking stabby teeth, please? It's so low quality.
Do you know how he came? Okay, it gets better throughout the series, but do you know how he came to that style for their faces? Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, but Lost Boys is 80s and that's fucking 90s.
Yeah, mid-90s. It wasn't that far.
Yeah, I know. But
and they had a minimum budget when they started Buffy, and then it gets, like, more... Yeah. So, I think you should keep going.
I love how passionate people are about Buffy.
Yeah, don't diss Buffy.
I know. I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying that, you know, it's too... it kind of reminds me of, like, Ed Wood in the sense that, you know, you can see what's going on rather than it being, like, real.
What?
Well, when you watch Ed Wood films, like it's very noticeable that they don't have any money.
Right.
And
yeah, in the first series, that's quite a big thing, but not so much later on, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I have only watched season one, so.
Yeah.
But I need to go back and do it again because I don't remember anything of it.
Oh, no, don't. Just start season two.
All right, I'll do that then because I really didn't want to.
I skip season one a lot of the time.
All right. What about you?
Well, you did say, want to get all ecstasy. So I said, I want to get all Christmassy too. So I'm going to put my decorations up tomorrow, I think.
I think we're doing it tomorrow as well. We've got to get a tree tomorrow.
Oh, we've got, we've got a fake one, but...
We have, I don't know if we're getting a fake one or a real one yet. We'll decide tomorrow. I think we're going real, but...
I'd love a real one. Mm. There's like a field over the forest, which has pine trees in. Mm. I wonder if they sell them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to watch Virgin River season 2. I'm going to get my mountain bike out and have a few tootles in the forest, I think.
Cool.
To get out.
In the forest?
And, yeah.
Okay.
In the forest.
It's not very level.
No, because it's a mountain bike.
Yeah, I know, but I don't remember you doing all the tricks and things with a bike.
I used to go years ago before I was with Alec when I lived with my parents next to the forest. I used to be in the forest all the time.
Okay, but so, before you were with Alec, you were 17.
So?
Sorry. Am I reading this right? Go to a restaurant and get sensibly sloshed.
Yes, you are.
I want to do that too.
Because as of Wednesday or Thursday, whatever, next week, the restaurants are open again. And I can't wait to go to a restaurant.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I want to go. I might get the girls up to babysit or something and let me and Dev go out for dinner.
Yeah, you should do it.
Yeah.
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 And they're getting sensibly sloshed. I won't do that in a restaurant. I'll do that at home. But I just really want to get drunk.
Yeah, we need to do that. Need to do that.
Yeah. And do you know what? I think if Airbnbs are opening up again, I'm going to go find an Airbnb.
Can I come?
No, because we can't mix, can we?
No.
Oh, and I'm going to watch, in entertainment news, I'm going to watch David Fincher's Mank on Netflix. But it's about the making of Citizen Kane, so I should probably rewatch Citizen Kane because I can't remember that.
Oh, I haven't a clue about Citizen Kane. I don't know if I've seen. I think I've seen it, but I'd need to rewatch it.
I've got it on DVD, but it's really boring.
I know it's kind of one of those things where everyone's like, "Oh my god, it's like the most amazing thing ever." When really, it's not.
Ah, do you know who we are?
Who?
We're Rachel and Joey. Because they say that, don't they? Like, oh, it's like a really big thing.
I know. I was listening to a podcast today on, they were talking about the Beatles. And I was like, because I'm not a fan of the Beatles.
Oh, I like the Beatles.
No, I'm not. I mean, I like a couple of songs, but, you know, I'm not a big fan or anything. And I was like, God, it's such a... Because he asked a question, Beatles or Rolling Stones? And I'm like... Well, I'm not really fussed by either of them. I like a couple of songs by them, but I wouldn't be a fan of... I'd never rarely listen to either of them, you know? So I'll probably be booted off if I ever go on there.
I like all the songs off the Help film, album for the Beatles, and I like Get Back. I like a few Beatles songs, actually.
I like some, but I don't like many.
The only Rolling Stones song I like, really, is Sympathy for the Devil.
I like that. Gimme Shelter. I like that one.
Evie always sings, "Hey, you, get off of my cloud."
Bless her.
Yeah. Cool. All right, then. You do the outro. You're always so good at it.
Well, I am a pro. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook as Show Me the Podcast, or Twitter as SMTPcast. And Harry, where can we find you?
I'm going to plug my pec.art Instagram.
Do it. Do it. Honestly, I have to say, the fucking drawing on this page that Harry does, this is her, is fucking amazing. No, it is. I always find it weird that I know someone who can do stuff like that.
Well, yeah. Thank you. I do that. But I'm like, this pec.art thing, this is going to be like an exploration of my art stuff. So I'm going to try all sorts of styles out. But yeah, if you want any commissions, come at me.
Well, if you need any stick men for your page, I'm taking commissions too. Why are you laughing?
Why are you laughing? Where can we find you?
I'm on Instagram as Once Upon a Nightmare Podcast, on Twitter as A Nightmare Pod, and on Facebook and WordPress as Once Upon a Nightmare.
Sweet.
Cool. And and if you could go rate and review on Apple Podcast or the platform of your choice, that would be amazing.
That'd be sweet.
Yes. And we will chat to you soon.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.